So it's good to be here with you guys this morning. Hey, I want to say thank you. This process in starting a church and my family coming along with us and all the things that we have to go and do. And the most humbling part is having to raise money. And it's difficult to ask for that because money is personal, you know. And so let me say thank you. It was very overwhelming. This process has been a little bit emotional for us as well. And so thank you so much for that, for your generosity in your giving during the Easter offering. It means a lot to my family. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Not only does it mean a lot to our family, it means a lot to the future people, to the people we're going to meet in the future, and the gospel that we're going to be able to bring to them. And so thank you so much for partnering with us and being able to help us go and to spread the word. And so thank you again for that. So I have played soccer just about my whole life. Now, contrary to what our lead minister Dave says, it is a sport. He would disagree vehemently. I think he says his one argument is that you can play 90 minutes of a soccer game, right? And these guys can run and play hard the whole time. It can end at a 0-0 tie, and at the end, it's a good game. And that's his argument. It's like, how is that a good game? No, it's a really good game. And so I've played soccer my whole life. I've had opportunities to play. I'm not the greatest player. I've had opportunities to coach. I've enjoyed coaching. I've coached little kids, and then I've had the opportunity to teach high school level. And for the first time this season, I coached a grade or an age level that I had never taught before or coached before. And it was from 9-year-old to 12-year-old girls. I didn't even say anything, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It was so much fun, though. And so this was my team. My daughter got to play this year with us. And I'll tell you what, for me, this age level was probably the most difficult. I mean, these kids at this age, they're figuring out who they are, and they're figuring out their athletic level and what they're good at and what they enjoy playing and coming together. And so really, I think a lot of us can understand that even kids at this age, I'm very self-centered. It's like, it's about like what I'm doing, and it's about what I have. It's like there is a 3-foot radius circle around these kids, and whatever is in this circle, that's what matters the most, right? And anything beyond that is like, you know. So, but for them, this year, I think what I try to instill in them is the idea of teamwork and coming together as a team. Soccer is a team sport, right? You have to have everybody coming together and working together. I would tell them things like, you might be able to dribble past one person, but it's going to be more difficult to get past the second and third person. So use your teammates. Pass the ball. But we had a really great season. These girls were really fantastic. I loved watching them just grow in their sport and grow in their skills and their talents. And it was so much fun. But I'll tell you what, it was not easy. I had to come up with like nicknames for these kids. Like I named her Karate. Another girl, I named her M80. Like the firecracker. She is spicy as a firecracker. I mean, just like, and so, but it was so much fun watching them and coming together. But my big thing this year was for them to have fun and to learn to work together as a team. And this morning, I want us to talk about, as the church, it's important for us to come together and to work together. This morning, as we continue in our series, Cathedral, I'd like for us to look at the church. Now, in the Greek, the word that is translated into church is the Greek word ekklesia. And by definition, ekklesia means a gathering of citizens at a public place. And in the first century church, ekklesia also defined as the called out ones. And they were those people who gathered together in public places for the purpose of worship. And when they got together, they were the body of Christ. And no matter where they gathered together, they were the body of Christ. And they were the body of Christ that began to scatter throughout the earth. And so this morning, as we gather together in this place, we are not just coming to church or gathering for church. When we come together, we, the people, we become the church. We are the church. You and I are the church. And we are not only the ones, we are not the only ones that are making up the church this morning. Did you know that? Like, just because we come here, we are not the only church. The ecclesia is made up of those gathering in different locations this morning all across New Bern and all across Craven County and all across the eastern North Carolina and the whole state, across the United States, and even across the world. Those gathering this morning in the name of Jesus and worshiping Jesus are the church. And sometimes we use the term the church universal. And we're coming together to be the church. We just happen to be part of the ecclesia that meets together in this location, right? We are the ecclesia here. Now, growing up, my mom and dad, Sunday morning, would kindly tell us, it's time to get up because you need to get ready to go to church, which to me meant that we are going to the church building, right? Anybody else? Like, as a kid, like, time to get up, get going, we are going to church. And so in your mind, we are going to the church building. And what we did and how we did things then is much different than we do things now. Guys, they would get dressed up, they would wear shirts and ties and suits, which some of us still do, which I think is awesome. I love it. Ladies, a lot of them would wear dresses and sometimes hats. Does anybody have hats? Ladies, church hats? It's awesome. I love it. Children would be made to put on their Sunday best, right? You guys with me? All right. There were certain clothes that you were allowed to wear. They were called your church clothes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And we would go to church. And mom and dad, they would sing songs about things that I had no clue about out of a book that I could barely read. I had no understanding. And then after church and after they would sing, all the kids would be shuttled off to children's church. And some of you guys, did they have like kids' church up front? Did anybody have that experience too, where like the preacher would come down and they would like a kid's time, and then they were all sent off, kind of like we do. We like send them off into children's church, right? And they're sent to children's church. And when church was done, we would go home. And as a kid, what were you made to do? What did you had to change out of? Your Sunday best, right? What happens if you go out and play in your Sunday clothes? I love it. Oh, yes. Many memories. I made a mistake. I need to change my clothes, right? So we would go home and we would put on our play clothes and we would enjoy the rest of the day. One of my favorite things that my dad would do, I know this is just like, it's very simple, but on Sunday after church, my dad would pop popcorn. Very easy. Like, I mean, popcorn's easy. But I remember just about every Sunday morning with our lunch, Dad would pop popcorn. And so now it's one of my favorite things that I do. We don't do it every Sunday, but on Sundays where we're going to go home and have lunch, Carly will say, Dad, we're making popcorn. And so on Sundays we go home, I'm still in my jeans and t-shirt, and we make popcorn and we sit on the couch. And that's how sometimes we'll spend our Sunday afternoon is eating popcorn and watching TV, or I'll go out and do yard work or something like that. But growing up, church, to me, that's where we went. You know, and I'm not entirely sure, that I understood is that church is what we did. You know, my parents were followers of Jesus. They instilled that into their kids. But the idea of being the church was a concept I really didn't grasp until I was an adult. See, this building has become the public gathering place for those who say, I'm a part of the body of believers at Two Rivers Church. And I'm sure when you're out in public, you say it exactly like that. No. What do we say? I go to Two Rivers Church. But the building is just that, though. The building is just a building. It's made up of wood and nails and screws and metal and brick and mortar. The building is just the geographical location where we meet and gives us a place. The building is just that place where our community knows that there is a group of believers and followers of Jesus that meet at this place. See, the building isn't living. It's just a building. And we try to use it as a tool. How can we use this building? What are ways that we can reach our community? How can we have the community into our building? It's a resource. See, the church isn't a dead building. The church is living and active because it is made up of living and active people. You are the church. The believers, the people are the church. And our church should be built upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, because the people who call themselves followers of Jesus have built their lives upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. We get this beautiful picture of this discussion between Jesus and the disciples. And at the time, many people were trying to speculate about who Jesus was. And after Peter answering Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replies, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And at this point, Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for it was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." See, Jesus is not saying, "Hey, I'm Peter, I'm going to build a church upon you. Like, you're going to be the firm foundation for this building. Like, you're going to be the physical, you're going to be the cornerstone, and we're going to build this new foundation, this temple on you." That's silly. Instead, Jesus says, I love this, he changes his name. He says, "You are now Peter." Does anybody know what Peter means? What's that? The rock, right? Peter or Petros. You are now the rock upon which the church is going to be built. The beginnings of the church are going to be built on you, Peter. What he's saying is that, Peter, you are going to go into the world. You are going to go and you are going to preach the good news of the Messiah. You are going to start the ecclesia. And then, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, who preaches the first public sermon? Peter, at Pentecost, right? Peter at Pentecost stands up and he preaches this powerful message about Jesus. And after he preaches, people ask, what must they do? Peter replies, "Repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus, be baptized into him, and live your life for him." And after he does that, the Bible records that 5,000 people were believed and were baptized. And now we have this picture of the beginning of the ecclesia. The church begins. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we get this picture, the ecclesia, the called out ones, what they are doing, and now they are being put into action. Verse 42, I love this. I love this passage, by the way, because I think it really dives into who we need to be as a church. Verse 42, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the believers. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved." So here we have the first century church, the ecclesia, the called out ones are now being put into action. They are following Jesus. And I want us to look at what they were doing. What does it say that they were doing? Number one, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They studied together. They listened to the apostles. They memorized what the apostles were saying, and they were talking about that together in their homes. So they studied together. It says that they broke bread. When they came together, they shared in the Lord's Supper and communion. So they studied. They were praying. They were partaking in the Lord's Supper together. It says then that they sold their property and their possessions, and they gave to the ministry. So here they are gathering up funding and money to do ministry, to reach out to the community. And it says that they gave to anyone who had need. They met together in the temple courts. So on a weekly basis or whatever, a daily basis, they would come together and they would meet in public and they would teach and they would learn and they would talk and they would discuss. Today we call that coming to church. They broke bread in each other's homes. They shared meals together. How many of you guys have meals together with others in the church? Is it not the best thing ever? I've said this before. Just about every time this year, you know, about in springtime, I get to come up and preach. But I love spring when it gets warmer because I get out my grill. And I love to cook out. I love to be able to cook out and to have fun. And I love to have people to come over. It's so much fun. I will tell you, I just recently got a new outdoor cooking. I don't know if it's a grill. I don't know if you call it a grill. I got a cooktop, right? So I got one of these. I am on the trend that everybody's on now. It's like, and it's awesome. I did some research. I spent 3 days trying to figure out what I was going to buy. Literally. I called Miss Karen Sweat and I said, "Karen, you're at Sam's Club. What do they have there? What's," because sometimes Sam's Club has really great deals on stuff. And I said, "What do they have there?" And she said, here's what they have. Here's what it is. And I went and I researched it online. I was like, 2.5 stars. Like, I'm not doing that one. They were like, "Oh no, this is what happens." I'm like, "I'm not doing that one." So I went ahead and I splurged a little bit more to make sure. Because what happens is I wait till the end of the season and I buy a grill at the end of the season and it lasts about 3 years. And then it's time to get a new one. I was like, this time I'm going to get something else. So I got a Blackstone, and I love it. It's so much fun to cook on. Ask my kids. Like, they just said the other night, they're like, they were inside. I was outside getting ready, and they were saying to my wife, they said, "Dad really likes to cook on that. Like, he has fun on that. It's fun to cook on. It's just a cooktop. I mean, come on. It's not like it's like rocket science. It's not like it's anything new. It's been happening for a long time. You know, it's like, this is nothing new, but for some reason, you put a name on it, and you make it look pretty, and now you can have it in your house." It's like, yeah, this is awesome. This is new. I bit into it. I was like, yeah, you reeled me in. You got me. I was like the fish on the hook. I was done. But it's so much fun. I made breakfast on it the other day, the whole thing. It was Brenner. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. It was so much fun, right? But I say all that. I got way off track. What happened? I am way over here on cooktops and not about the church right now. But I say all that because I love having people over. Let me encourage you to do this. Dude, go get a grill. Have some people over. Enjoy the fellowship. I don't think, you don't have to go get a Blackstone. It's like, don't do that, you know, and get whatever you want. It's whatever you want. But have people over. They broke bread and they met together. And it says that they met the needs of others and they served others in their community. I mean, think about it. Isn't that what we do today? We come together and we study. We study in small groups. We study in discipleship groups. We come together here on Sundays and we fellowship and we hear from God's word and we worship together and we're encouraged by being here. We give to the ministry so that we can bless other people and that we can reach out to our community. We have people over. This is the church. And see, it's not dead. It's living and it's active and it's alive and it's moving and it's doing. So if you've ever wondered why we do what we do, it's because we have this great example from the first century church and what they did. Now, in this series over the past few weeks that we've been going through Cathedral, Dave reminded us Dave taught us at the very beginning that Jesus Christ gave up his very identity so that we would be able to find our identity in him. And then Michael reminded us that sometimes in the search for our own personal identity, what we do is we look for things in the world and we try to fill our lives with things in the world. And we try to search for identity in the things that we're able to bring in to our lives from the world when we really know the only place that we need to find our identity is in Jesus Christ. And then last week, Dave reminded us that the church is the bride of Jesus. And in that we are preparing and that we're waiting for Jesus' return. We are waiting for the bridegroom's return. So in all of this, what we need to remember is this, is that the identity of the church is wrapped up in the identity of Jesus. And since this is true, how can the church, the ecclesia, the church universal, live out its mission? How do we live out our identity? Well, I'm gonna remind you guys about something. I don't think I'm gonna tell you something that you don't already know, but this is a great reminder, and maybe this is a spark in you to realize that as the church, we're living inactive and we need to be doing as well. See, it takes each individual to come together and to make up the body. The body must be united and function as one healthy unit. And here's what Paul writes to the gathering of believers in Corinth, to the ecclesia in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, just as a body, though one part has, though one has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is. So as it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. See, Paul tells the church that each person in the church is important and vital, no matter what role they play. It's the same for us. You are important. You are part of the ecclesia here. You are part of the body. You are part of the church, the ecclesia worldwide. And you are important. He uses the human body as an example to explain this, using the eyes and the ears and the nose, saying that each part is important and that the eyes can't function the way that it needs to without the rest of the body, nor the ear, nor the feet, nor the hand. All of it comes together to make one healthy unit. And each part is important and it's vital to make up the healthy body. You know, in many cathedrals, there's these stained glass windows throughout them, right? And they're so beautiful. Some of them are really small and some of them are large and they take up whole walls. And sometimes they might just depict a scene, or it might be a reminder of something in history or something biblical. It might be a stained glass window of a person, but they're beautiful and they take time, right? And they all come together to make this. See, but stained glass is really beautiful to me because I think it's a great representation of the church.
I do stained glass because my home church when I was a kid was the Cathedral of Greensburg, and it was a big Gothic cathedral, and I was just mesmerized sitting in church all the time by the sun and the angles coming through the glass and the stories, and it just seemed like it was timeless. I've been doing stained glass for about 40 years. And then once you cut the glass and you fit it, then you have to grind it and get it to fit so it's nice and loose. Fascinating is the same piece will turn different colors into different light. On a cloudy day, it looks one way. On a sunny day, it looks another. Stained glass is fun for me because I like to make the stuff and know that if I give it to somebody, or you know, when you look at it, there's only one of them. The fun of this is to create something that no one else has ever seen before, and hopefully that when people look at it, they're like,
Corinthians chapter 12, 24, the second part of 24 through 26 says, but God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffer, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So it takes a lot of parts to make the church come together. It takes a lot of parts to make a piece of stained glass come together. The gentleman in the video is Mr. Mark Casparo. He's here this morning. He's one of our, yeah, he's a talented artist. Talented bass player as well. And so I love that he does this. And this is one of his pieces, by the way. He has thousands? Hundreds. I'm going with thousands because it sounds. So I went over there and we were talking about it. And I got to thinking, I was like, this is a beautiful picture of the church. Because it's not just one piece that makes this. It's a lot of pieces that are fit together and they're formed, and each piece has a purpose in what it's doing, whether it's holding it together or whether it's the part that's letting the light shine through. Each part of a stained glass is important, and it's a beautiful picture of the church. It takes many pieces to make one full piece of stained glass art. Each piece is purposeful, and it plays an important role in the piece. Not one piece is more important than the other. And each piece plays a vital role. See, stained glass is a beautiful picture or idea of the church. See, we all have a part to play. And each of us are important and vital to the church. So what is your part? Where do you play? I don't know. God has purposed you. God has prepared you. And God has made you important to be a part of the church. You see, as the church, we are called the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. And it's important for us to live that out each and every single day. See, we are not the building. We aren't Two Rivers Church at the building. We're Two Rivers Church, the group of believers that meet here, and we are alive, and we are active, and we are beautiful. See, we are the body. We are the many parts that come together that make up this body of believers. And each of us has a purpose, and we come together. And coming together, God makes a beautiful creation. You see, the church's identity is caught up fully in the identity of Jesus. Jesus came, he taught, he loved, and he sacrificed his life for the church. You and me, not for the building. So this morning, you are important. You are the church. You are alive and active. How are you being the church today? How can you be the church tomorrow and next week and beyond so that we can be a beautiful piece of art created by God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the picture of the church and for those that have come before us who have loved and followed you and who have passed on their faith to us. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful picture that you make in the church, in coming together, in forming the body so that we might be one healthy unit that goes and serves and loves. We are alive and we are active. We thank you for Jesus. Through him, we have purpose. Through him, we have a mission, and it's to go and to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. It's his name that we pray. Amen.